The words of God given to us today are from Acts chapter 23, verse 11. It's the New Testament, page 228. It's Acts chapter 23, verse 11. The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, "Take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome." Amen. Last Sunday, as I explained about the construction of the silent chapel, I spoke about the need for silent prayers. One's soul deepens as one remains quiet and silent before God, who is absolute. And by examining oneself with the eyes of God, breathing in eternity with the breath of God, and paying attention to the voice of God directed to oneself. Now, when Protestant Christians are asked what prayer is, they all give a model answer, a conversation with God. But in reality, prayers usually end with one-way notification to God about what wants to say. If you close your mouth and do not listen to the other, a conversation with someone is not possible, and therefore, it is difficult for prayers of a Protestant Christian to result in the emptying of the self or going beyond the self, no matter how often he or she prays. The spiritual maturity comes in direct proportion to the length of time that we remain silent before God. Through silence in which one wholly trusts oneself to God, the self is emptied by God and is filled with things of God, which results in self-growth, self-maturity, and overcoming of the self. A couple of days ago, a member asked a question in connection with this at a Seongdong-gu district meeting. When one tries to listen to God's voice in silence, all kinds of random thoughts fill the mind. How can one listen to the voice of God? Yes, it's true. Unlike the time that we become absorbed in ourselves and pour out what we want to say before God, when we close our mouth and try to listen to God's voice, our mind soon becomes inundated with all kinds of random thoughts. If somebody who is being chased by a creditor will visualize money. If you're in the midst of a serious fight with someone, the face of the person whom you hate will rise up. You cannot listen to God's voice this way. What I told that member is that the silent prayer must be carried out on the foundation of the Word. Silent prayer is a spiritual activity in which a person sees himself or herself reflected in the mirror of God's words, God Himself. This is from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 to 13. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. When we close our mouth before the mirror of God's words that penetrate our soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and even the thoughts of our hearts, will speak to us through His words. For example, let us suppose that someone reads today's text about the promise that the Lord gave to Paul, who has reached the end of his life, on the night he was locked up in his cold prison cell. And let's say that person stands before the mirror of these words. And let us further suppose that the person had always compared himself to others who's better off than him, and always suffered from a sense of relative deprivation, and had always lived in complaints and dissatisfaction. If that person were to see himself before the mirror of today's text with humble heart and silence, he will be able to listen to the voice of God, which penetrates through his soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and the thoughts of his heart, and uncover him. The voice of God would awaken him and correct him from wrongful living, in which, although he's much better off than Paul, who is in a cold prison cell, failed to be thankful and lived in complaints and dissatisfaction, no matter how much was given by God. On the other hand, if he's a person who is suffering from severe injustice while trying to live according to his conscience of faith, like Paul, then he would be able to listen to the voice of God, which encourages him and gives him courage as he stands before the mirror of today's text. In this way, a silent prayer which is done on the basis of the word allows for correction of one's life based on the word and a deepening of the spirit. In other words, if the God's words do not provide a basis, then no matter what voice you may hear, in most cases it would be your own voice arising out of one's obsession with oneself rather than God's voice. During the 30 years of pastoring, I have received many letters from many people who claim to have heard God's voice about me. According to them, I had to pastor in the area where they lived or pastor their church. I had to participate in what they were doing for the glory of God. I had to invite him to serve as a pastor in the church which I was serving. I had to pay off their debt. There was a true variety to the voices of God they claimed to have heard. Now, these voices of God they heard all had to do with me, but God did not say a word to me. The voice of God they claimed to have heard were all illusory. If you try to listen to God's voice in the absence of God's words, you only end up hearing illusory voices. Think of how many people, even today, go into a cave deep in a mountain, listen to some illusory voice, and become a leader of a cult. Now, let us take a look at today's text again. The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, "Take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must testify in Rome." In the cold cell of the prison, Paul was not alone. The Lord was with him in that cell. The Lord said to Paul that in the same way Paul testified about the Lord in Jerusalem, he will become his witness in Rome. It was not the first time that Paul had heard these words of the Lord. When Paul was spreading the gospel in Ephesus during his third mission trip, the Lord had already told him that the last place where Paul was to throw his life was Rome, the heart of the Roman Empire. There is no doubt that Paul, in his cold cell in the Roman barracks in Jerusalem, would have thought over and over the words of the Lord that told him his final destination would be Rome. When we thought about the final destination, Rome, the prison cell in the Roman barracks in Jerusalem was only a stopover on his way to the final destination, Rome, the heart of the empire. It was only natural for the living Lord to confirm for Paul the Lord's promise that as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, you will be my witness in Rome with his voice. If Paul had put aside what the Lord had told him before and tried to listen to the Lord's voice, captivated by his despair, then Paul also surely would have heard hallucinatory voice. Now let us return to the text once again. The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, "Take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome." An important fact is that the first words that the Lord spoke to Paul, who was in his cold prison cell, was, "Take courage." The Greek verb tharseo means have courage. Of course, it was most important that Paul shut up in prison in Roman barracks, do not fall into despair, and that he take courage and be brave. But here, a question arises. Wouldn't it have been much better if the Lord had arranged not to have Paul be locked up in prison in the first place, rather than saying to him, now an elderly man in a prison cell, take courage? Why did God just let Paul get locked up and then encourage him to take courage? Is he playing a joke on Paul by causing him grief and then turning around and encouraging him at the same time? No, it was because unless Paul became imprisoned in that prison cell of the Roman barracks, the new future in which he was to become the witness of the Lord in Rome, the capital of the empire, could not come. I have spoken about this before, and we will look at this in more detail next time. But in Jerusalem at the time, there were no less than 40 Jewish persons who had sworn not to eat anything before killing Paul. They had made concrete plans to wait for Paul as Paul passed their way and to kill him. If Paul had slept at someone else's house that night, he would have been killed without anyone knowing about it. That night, the safest place for Paul in Jerusalem was the prison cell in Roman barracks, which was guarded by armed Roman soldiers. And it was only when Paul was sent off to Rome under the armed guard of the Roman soldiers that he would safely arrive at Rome, the heart of the Roman Empire, despite all kinds of threats against his life. This was the very reason that Paul, in his cold cell, were to take courage and be brave. The prison cell in the Roman barrack in Jerusalem was the only way. It was the new stepping stone which guaranteed the new future for Paul, who were to testify about the Lord in Rome. The Lord who faced the trial of death on the cross said this to his disciples. This is from John chapter 16, verses 32 to 33. A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. The disciples who had been so confident panicked as soon as the Lord became captured and ran away, abandoning the Lord. But the Lord knew that he was not alone. He knew that Father God, whose arm is never too short, was holding onto him with his arm. The Lord abandoned himself to the suffering of death on the cross according to the will of Father, because it was the stepping stone towards the future of resurrection that would have men live forever. And the Lord, by breaking death apart and living again, became the Savior of the future forever, overcoming the world that ends in death. The Lord told the disciples that although they will have trouble in the world, to be courageous in the Lord who has overcome the world. The reason that there is trouble for people who follow the will of the Lord in this dark world, in having to fight against the darkness of the world, is that it is a stepping stone towards a new future. That is why the Lord said to his disciples to step forward with courage. There is no more worthwhile life for a finite human being than preparing for the new future, which is better than now. In the final match for the 2016 Copa America, which took place on June 27th, Argentina and Chile faced off each other, as was the case before. Each team wasn't able to score despite a fierce match that spanned a total of 120 minutes, the 90 minutes of the first and the second half, and the 30 minutes of extended play. The game had to be decided on a penalty shootout, like the prior match. But the first kicker for Argentina, Messi, the global soccer star, missed. As a result, Argentina, which had hoped to avenge the disgrace of losing to Chile, lost to Chile again by 4-2 in the shootout. Messi sat in tears on his knees on the ground after the match. He looked lonely and sad. Unlike Pelé and Maradona, who brought home the World Cup victory while they were stars, Messi had to satisfy himself with one semifinal victory at World Cup and three semifinal victories at Copa America. He had failed each time right before the final victory. That day, Messi, 29 years old, announced his retirement from Argentina's national team in tears. For me, the national team is over. I've done all I can. It hurts not to be a champion. It's over. It's best for everyone. I can't do it anymore. After the announcement, starting from the president of Argentina and many other Argentinians, tried to appeal to Messi to try to change his mind. Among them, a letter that a woman elementary school teacher sent to Massey's moving people all over the world through the internet, and a member of the church sent me the letter, and many of you would have seen it, but for those who do not know about it, I will take a moment to read the letter. To Lionel Messi. You will probably never read this letter, but I will write it all the same. Not as a football fan, but as an Argentinian teacher. No matter how much love and dedication I put into my work, I will never receive from my students that incredible fascination they feel for you. These children love you. Now, they will see their biggest hero give up. Your retirement will mean giving in to your critics. I hope you don't give in to their foolishness of caring only about winning and ignoring growth that can come through failures. Please do not leave my students thinking that this country only cares about winning and coming first. Do not teach them that their life goal must be using my talents to make others happy. We have watched how you, burdened with rare disease, have grown fighting adversities. If you retire now, the children will no longer be able to learn the value of efforts they learned through you. If you give up for the reason that you lost, so many people of this country who face hardships day in and day out can lose the will to carry on with their lives. When I talk to my students about you, I do not talk about them, about how wonderfully Messi plays football, but of the thousands of free kicks he practiced to manage to put the ball in the angle beyond the reach of any goalkeeper. Do not give up. Do not put the shirt with our country's color away. Not all of us await medals and cups to feel wonderfully proud of you or one of us. Please do not make my students feel that coming second is a defeat and that the value of a person depends on how full his trophy cabinet is or that losing a game is to lose glory. I don't think that a real hero gives up on losing. A real hero must let people know the truth that when he wins together, and when he loses, he's not alone. I wish that you would remain with the national team, with the heart that when you represent our country, you're not Lionel Messi, but Argentina. Please show us that if you're happy in doing something you love, that is the greatest victory of all, regardless of winning or losing. Now, this elementary school teacher who wrote such a moving letter must be a person who has deep insights into life. If Messi, only 29 years old, rejoins the Argentinian national team to represent his country, 2 years late in World Cup and 4 years late in Copa America, and loses again, he will remain as a legend at a different level than Pelé or Maradona just by doing that, because people all over the world will, through him, learn the beauty of life that does not give into despair, and the absolute value that is in being second that surpasses that of being number one. Messi, for the sake of that new future, which is at an entirely different level, has the reason and the right to return to Argentina's national team with courage. If a mere soccer player could make a new future at an entirely different level by deciding which stepping stone to step on, then do we need to say more about us who live in the arms of God, which is never too short? Now, as soon as our church was built to take care of Yanghwa-jin for a missionary cemetery, which was abandoned to a desultory state on July 10, 2005, the persons and certain organizations that had profited privately here began to attack me and our church. These attacks were joined even by a Christian denomination, and it reached its height in 2007. Their attempts and attacks to pull me down from my ministry and to oust our church from Yanghwa-jin went beyond anything that anyone could have imagined. My health, which was never good, suffered fatally at that time. A doctor who knew my physical and health condition said that I would only live to 5 years if I were to live long. Now that I went through surgery for cancer 5 years from then, the doctor's diagnosis was right. At that time, it was difficult for me even to breathe. What kept me going was the words of God. One day, as I was reading the Old Testament, Jeremiah, verse 11 of chapter 29 caught my attention. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." The reason that God had allowed our church to face these troubles, these hardships of false accusations, was not to give us a calamity, but to give us a new future and a hope. We were called to be the caretakers of Yanghwa-jin, which was marked with lawlessness and disorderliness. If we had not gone through the painful process, how could we have hoped for the new future in which Yanghwa-jin, which was abandoned as if it were an area beyond the rule of law, is born again as a sacred site for the Korean Protestant Church, taken care of according to the laws and public interests of Korea? Jeremiah 29:11 gave me such courage and held me fast. So our church's motto for the following year, 2008, was future and hope. And rather than shrinking from false accusations and attacks from outside, we confronted them with courage. And now we are enjoying the new future, which is at an entirely different level at Yanghwa-jin, which has now been restored properly in name and in substance as a sacred site for the Korean Protestant Church. The painful troubles we had gone through were the stepping stones that we had to step on for the new today. The reason that we live according to the eternal words of God, which transcend time and space, is to cultivate a new future that the Lord wants to give us based on the foundation of today. Are you going through difficult suffering? Are you in the middle of going through a tunnel of despair that does not seem to end? If you really believe in the arm of the Lord, which is never too short, never try to avoid the situation. Confront that situation with courage. Follow the words of Eternal God bravely, even in that situation. Do not forget that the current situation, like the cold prison cell of Paul, is a stepping stone towards a new future, which is entirely at a different level. God, whose arm is never too short, is promising this to us today. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Let us pray. If we look only to the cold prison cell in Roman barracks where Paul was locked up in Jerusalem, it was a difficult hardship for Paul, who was in his late years. But if we look to God, who is present beyond it, the cold cell was a stepping stone for Paul to go forward to an entirely different and new future. And so the Lord said to Paul, to take courage. And Paul remained courageous without being shaken, even in that hopeless situation. When we run into trouble that we do not wish for as we live, help us not to be the slave of hardship who suffocates to death by it, by focusing only on our troubles. Help us to know the joy of enjoying an entirely different new future by stepping onto the stepping stone of trials with our two feet, with courage, by looking up at God whose arm is never too short. May we not forget that the reason we live following after God's words is in order to develop our future newly and eternally with the words of God, and that as our future becomes new, the future of this world becomes new. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.